much, Blake and Grant. Wasn't that a blessing? It's kind of hard to get up here after that. I'll tell you that. That's beautiful. Well, if you look in your bulletin this morning, you'll find there's a handout in that bulletin. It goes with the sermons today. And so as we continue in our series, by the way, I'll need something to advance the slides with up here. And as we get that, I wanted to challenge you. It says right up here in the very front, it says a very interesting question. And I want you to think about that question. God can't use me because. All right, now I want you to write in there why it is that God can't use you. You thought about that? Well, God can't use me because, and you write that down. Or maybe you would say, well, God, I really can't serve you because, or maybe you could write down something that, I'm a little hesitant to serve you, Lord, because. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to write that question in there. God can't use me because. Do y'all fill it out? That's an interesting way of putting it. If you don't fill it out, then you're pretty sure God can use you. And there's no But if you ever in your mind ever had the thought, God can't use me because, I want you to write it in there, and you'll see why in just 3 minutes. Just jot it in there. God can't use me because. Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, as we open the scriptures to look at the call of a young man named Jeremiah, a call so long ago, as we study his call, help us to see the call that you have for all of us. I thank you for your presence here today, and I'm praying for it in my weakness, in Jesus' name. Amen. See, the reason that I'm sharing this with you is for three reasons, and that is this, that when God calls, he calls all of us. See, everyone who's a Christian, God has called. And he calls, matter of fact, all humanity, God calls. He calls for three things. The first thing God calls, write this down, is God calls everyone to salvation. God calls everyone to hear the message of his son, Jesus Christ, and to come and be receive salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. God is calling all people to do that. The second thing that God does is God is calling all those who accept Jesus Christ as his Lord, their Lord and Savior. God is calling them to follow his son. And that's what we call discipleship. So God's calling everyone to salvation. God is calling those who accept Jesus to discipleship. He's saying, I want you to follow Jesus. I want you to follow my son. And finally, God is calling those who are following his sons to ministry. You see the progression here? God's calling all people to salvation. He's calling those he has saved to discipleship. That means following Jesus. And he's calling those who are following Jesus to ministry. And of course, write this down in your study sheet. God calls you to salvation and discipleship to Jesus Christ. Everything is focused on Jesus Christ. God is calling you to Jesus. But to ministry, God is calling you for others. Okay? And so God has a call on the lives of every single person in this room today. There's not one person here or in the back or in the mother's room or over in the chapel or up in the balcony that God is not calling or has not called or has not placed a call on your life in one way or another, either to discipleship because you're not following this son or to salvation because you don't know his son or to ministry for others. God is calling all of us. And so when you see, when God calls his salvation, you can see this is powerfully accomplished. And so what we're going to do today as we study this series, begin the series again with Jeremiah and the life of Jeremiah, is I'd like for us to begin studying the day that God called him. Because in that dialogue, on the day God called Jeremiah, we can find the attitudes that will help us as God is calling us. In fact, there are three things that if we do these things, if we know these things, then I guarantee you that you will be active, you will be powerful, you will be changed in the calling that God has given to you in your life right here today. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the lessons, at the attitudes that God wants us to develop that'll make our call powerful for Jesus. Would you like to know what those are today? Three powerful attitudes that will make our call for Jesus a powerful thing. And here's the first one. Write this down. Oops. Now, how did that happen? Back up. Okay, here we are. Here's the first one. Believe that your life is a gift to serve others for God. This is probably the most powerful attitude that you could ever have as a Christian, and that is to believe your life is a what? A what? Over in the chapel, a what? Ooh, that was a week over there. A gift to serve others for God. Let's take a look at this text in Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah 1, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me," Jeremiah, and this is what the word said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." Now, in this text, God approaches Jeremiah as creator. So important to understand that. In fact, throughout the entire book of Jeremiah, there are images and reminders of the Lord who created us. And God now he comes to him in the context of his maker. And this is so powerful. The first word that we're going to look at here that's so neat is that there's four things you're going to write down here. First thing is that God, if you see your life as a gift, you know that God formed you. Write that down. God formed you. And the word form relates to divine creation. It tells us something interesting, that every time a child is born or knitted in the womb, it should draw us back to the mind of the God who first put in place this amazing creation we call humanity, who created us, who formed us in the womb, how he attaches us to that in our lives. And so the first thing that he does is he wants him to know he's special because God formed him. He knew him. He formed him in the womb. Secondly, write this down. God knows you. Just as God formed him and he formed you, just as God knew him, he knows you. God knows you. It says here that God comes to Jeremiah as a creator who knows. And that word for that theologically is foreknowledge. God has foreknowledge, an attribute of his omniscience of our creator God. You know, in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9, it says, "Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you." And God, in his foreknowledge, knows Jeremiah just as he knows you. And of course, God knowing doesn't mean that God predestined him to do everything he did. It means that he knows who he is. He knows him experientially. I want you to get the difference between the two, okay? The Greeks, philosophers, think that God forces you to do things in your life, but the Hebrew knows that God knows you experientially. Have you ever thought of that? God knows you experientially. He knows who you are. He knows you. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? You know, I'm going to share why I say that. When I got to this place in this sermon and I was looking at that text and looking at that God knows me, I thought to myself, wow. How in the world did God ever choose me to minister for him? I mean, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, really. I didn't act like a Christian most of my life till I met Jesus. And that happened much later than most people do. I'm not like today, this afternoon at 2 o'clock, I'm going to be baptizing two young ladies. It didn't happen to me then. Boy, God is patient. And you know, it made me think, maybe I should be patient when that thorny person comes my way. Because guess what? God was patient. He knows me experientially, but yet he still called me to do what I'm doing right now. And he's still calling you to do the ministry that you've been called to do. Francie, that's for you too. Think about that. It's so powerful. Okay, number three. So God formed you. God knows you. Number three, God consecrated you. Consecrated you. You know, God tells Jeremiah as his creator, he has set his life apart for a special purpose. This word consecrated or ordained in your text over there, that word is the exact same word that God used when he set up the seventh-day Sabbath. He consecrated that day for special use. And this is what he's saying to Jeremiah. He's saying, I consecrated you for a special purpose. Have you found the special purpose God has consecrated you for yet, friends? Remember now, every single person in this room is called by God. There's not one of us that's not called by God. Everyone is called by God. And now you know that you have been consecrated just as Jeremiah was. And finally, he says to him, as his creator, he comes to him and he says, I set you apart, I know you, I formed you, and now I appoint you. You put this down. God appointed you as a gift. Write that down. God appointed you as a gift. And this is the point right here. This is the punchline of this entire little passage here. When he uses that word appointed, it is a special word. It's the same word in Genesis 1:29. It's called a divine gift. It's the exact same word when he said this in Genesis 1:29 when God said, Behold, I have given you every green plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, that shall be food for you. God appointed that as a gift to us. You get it? He uses the same word. I have appointed you. I have made you a gift as a prophet to serve the people. Think about that. This text literally implies that Jeremiah has been given to the nations by God as a gift. And this, my friends, is where it all boils down to whether you can accept your call that God's given you. You have to see your life as a gift given by our Creator God for others. Do you see your life that way today? Because if you see your life as a gift given by God for others, it changes everything. God, who knows me, who formed me in his womb, who appointed me, now I am now appointed as a gift. Wow. Wow, that's a powerful little attitude there, isn't it? God appointed you as a gift. And this is the first attribute. God calls you to ministry is simply realizing that your life is a gift that God has placed you to serve others. Can you picture your life like that? How many of you can picture your lives like that? I am a gift that God has placed here to serve others. Yeah, well, remember, some are called, first God calls you to salvation, then God calls you to discipleship, then God calls you as a gift for others, right? It's in that process. So we know, you're going to know which one you're at there. Some of us are going to have to go one way or the other. Okay, number two, okay. It's at this point now, number two, so that's number one. Believe your life's a gift. God formed you, knows you, consecrated you, and appointed you as a gift. Now, number two, watch this. Because now that you're there, you have to trust that you are the right person God is calling. You have to trust that you are the right person God is calling. Now check this out. Here's Jeremiah's response, Jeremiah 1:6. He goes, Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am a youth. You think that's how he said it? Then he said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak, for I'm a youth. That word, ah, there, you parents are familiar with it. It's the same kind of word in the Hebrew that you would hear when your child says to you, Oh, Mom, I don't want to do that. Exact same, okay? In the Hebrew, it's the same thing. Here's Jeremiah. He, after hearing this beautiful calling from God, first words out of his mouth, Oh.
Can you picture that? God, don't you know I'm too young? I don't know how to speak in front of people. Now think about this for a minute. I mean, think of it from Jeremiah's perspective. Jeremiah was a son of Hilkiah. He lived in a tribe of Benjamin. He was in a priestly line. Okay, and so priests back in those days had a little bit of respect. They wore the nice uniforms. They had a little bit of respect amongst the people. But prophets living back then, if they were truly prophets of the Lord, they didn't get much respect. Read the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and on. You hear these stories of people sawn asunder and all these nasty things that people did to God's true prophets. Jeremiah's like, you sure about that? You sure? But this is what you want me to do? I'm not really certain that this is what I want you to do here. And so we know that his response to God's call was not a good one. Now let me ask you a question. What's your response to God's call? Are you like that? Oh, God, I don't want to do that. You know, God's called every one of us here to salvation, to discipleship, to ministry. God has called you you have to see your life as a gift, but then the second thing you have to do to really be a servant of God is you have to trust that God is right in His call. You have to trust that you're the right person for the job. And this is what God says to him. Listen to what He says. God responds right back, but the Lord said to me, "Do not say that I am a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." God's response back to Jeremiah was, "You are the right person for the call. I want you to know you're the one that I've chosen. You're the right one. Don't think that you're not." And this is it, this dialogue. And you know what's funny? Jeremiah began his ministry and he started working this way, but you know what? All throughout his ministry, you can hear the echoes of that awe. You can. I'll give you an example. Right here, Jeremiah 15, 16 to 20. Listen to Jeremiah describing his experience as this prophet. He says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." So he took the words and he ate them, and they were sweet in his mouth. "Why is my pain unceasing and my wounds incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook of waters that fail?" He wasn't so happy about it, was he? Listen to how Jeremiah speaks to the Lord. But then God says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me, and if you will utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord." You know, all throughout Jeremiah's ministry, God was sharing with him, "I'm going to deliver you. You're going to be okay. I'm with you all the way." And this is it. The point here is that when God calls you to ministry, you have to trust that you're the right person that God is calling. And this is the attitude that Jeremiah lacked and he struggled with in his ministry. This whole experience reminds me of the end time people, God's end time people in Revelation. It reminds me of Revelation 10:10. It says, "And then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it, and in my mouth it was sweet as honey, but as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said to me, 'Thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings.'" You know, in Revelation, it's talking about God's last day people having experience similar to Jeremiah. Not certain about their call. Not trusting that they're the right people. And God's last day message. But you know, like Jeremiah, they have to realize and trust that they're God's right people. You're the people that I've chosen to do this. And you have to believe that we are. And that God has raised us up to share the world that Jesus is coming. Okay, so we've seen two attitudes that will empower your ministry. Number one is you have to believe that your life is a gift for others, to serve others for God. You have to trust that you're the right person that God is calling. And finally this morning, the last attitude, you have to realize that wherever God takes you, God equips you. Wherever you go, God, if He calls you, He equips you. Listen to how God responds to Jeremiah now, this third little part of this story. He says, "Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build up." Now, this is powerful, the way God equipped this prophet. And if you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll find that it's exactly what his prophetic ministry was. The words that came out of his mouth, God said, were going to be words that come to pass. God was going to put words in his mouth. He was going to say those words, and God was going to make those words come to pass. Now, is that equipping? Is that equipping or what? I'll tell you what to say. You say it, and it'll happen. And all throughout the book of Jeremiah, you find his words. Babylon is coming. Babylon is coming. The king of Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and take this place. And you know what? It happened. And all at the very end of the book of Jeremiah, just one right after another, he's talking about the fall and the building up of nations. You know, the building up part was found in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah talks about a prophecy that after they would be exiled, God would bring them back to the land. Everything that Jeremiah said came to pass. Everything. God equipped him, and God will equip you. Whatever God is calling you to do, God will equip you to do it. You know, the Seventh-day Adventist commentary writes this. It says, "After the call of the prophet came this solemn act of consecration, symbolizing the communication of new powers of thought and utterance. This touched upon his lips. Jeremiah was assured that there would be no uncertainty as to his message. He was to go forth to speak the words put in his heart by the Spirit of God. And I tell you, friends, today that God will empower you the same way. If you will go out and share this gospel of the kingdom of God and the soon return of Jesus, God will empower your lips. God will empower us. You know, we're about to embark on inviting a man to come and talk about prophecy. And God will empower us to speak if we're willing to do it. For it's not you who speaks, but it is my Father who speaks through you." You know, Matthew 10:20. "For it is not you who speaks, but it is the Spirit of your Father that speaks through you." You know, if we're willing to do the mission that Jesus has given us, we will be empowered by God. And you have to trust that God will equip you. And so here today, we've seen three things, three attitudes. First of all, we know this. Everyone here is called. No matter where you are in this sanctuary, you are called. Either to salvation through Jesus Christ, His Son, to discipleship, to follow His Son, or to ministry, to give your life as a gift to others. And I know that that can be expressed in many different ways and through many different avenues, but every one of us has this call, and we are called by God. It's up to us to hear the call. How many of us are going to go back to God and say, "I know you formed me, I know you know me, experientially know me, I know you appointed me, I know all these things, but oh God, I've got this problem, I've got that." You know, I want you to go back now. Take that sheet of paper that you started with and look at what you wrote up there, if you wrote anything, or if you set it in your mind, why God can't use me, I want you to ask yourself, will we say, oh, Lord, sovereign God, I don't know enough about the Bible. I'm not good enough person. I'm not smart enough. I'm not old enough. I'm too old. What are you going to say to God as he's calling you right now to give your life to others as a gift for him, to follow his son? What are you going to say to God this morning? You know, I'm going to share with you that this notion of God coming to Jeremiah and telling him that before he was born, God formed him in the womb, is talking about God writing in him, writing this knowledge of who he is in his very DNA. And I want to share with you that your DNA actually is that writing. Your DNA is unique. There's no one like it. Your DNA is so complex that no accident could have made it. No random chance could have possibly come up with that code that defines the proteins that make what you are. God has written himself in you. There's a story that's told about an American tourist. He went to Paris for a vacation, and what he did was, for a living, was he had junk shops. And so while he was in Paris, he went to all the little junk shops in Paris and happened along several of them. He couldn't find anything that he really wanted, but you know how people are that when they go to junk shops, people like that, they really have an eye. They look for stuff. They look for junk. They know what they want. Finally, he finds this little sort of like this little jewelry item that he thought was kind of cute. So he went to the lady, and it was a junk shop. He paid very little for it. He got it, put it in his stuff, and he went on the airplane, came back to the United States. He gets to the place where you have to go through the border inspection and declare the stuff that you bought. So he puts out the few things that he bought there, and there was this little piece of jewelry. And he was really surprised. They charged him a lot of money to bring that little piece of jewelry back into the country. Shocked at this, I mean, he was almost going to throw it away because of the amount of money they wanted for him to bring this in, like a tax. So shocked about this, he goes out and he just breaks it over to a jewelry store and he says, hey man, you know, can you tell me why this, what kind of value this has? And the guy looks at it under a magnifying glass and he says, listen, I'll give you $29,000 for it right now. Whoa. Then you know how you are when you get to that point. Oh, it's okay. He took it with him. And he says, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to find somebody that knows anything about this. I know nothing about this. And he comes and he finds this expert on art and jewelry. And he takes it and says, why is this thing so valuable? And the guy looks at it. And he says, here. Look right here. And he gives him the magnifying glass and he looks in there and says, from Napoleon Bonaparte to Josephine. Wow. Yeah. And it wasn't that the little piece of jewelry had any value at all. It was the inscription that was in the jewelry that made it valuable. Now I want to share with you. God has written an inscription in you. His name, his creative power, his majesty has written into you, your DNA, in every cell of your body. Friends, you are formed by God. And it is that inscription that God makes you with, that makes you his. Friends, you are his. You're unique. You're special because you're special to God. No one can take your place in God's heart. Neither can anyone take your place in this world. Did you hear me? No one can take your place in this world. So, I appeal to you to believe that you're a gift that God desires to give. I don't know how that's going to look for you. I don't know what job that's going to look like for you. But God is calling you. You have to believe that you're a gift that God has given for this time. You have to believe, trust that you're the right person for that calling, and you have to know that God is going to equip you no matter what it is. How many of you are willing to take that call today? I'm willing, Lord, to accept that you will call me and you'll equip me right now. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you for hearts that care enough to dare enough for you. I'm praying for every one of us here, some of us to accept the call to salvation. I'm praying for some to accept the call to discipleship. And I'm praying for those to realize their call to ministry, that they are giving their lives as a gift for Jesus. I'm praying for those hearts that have made decisions to do that today. I'm praying for this church, Lord, as we continue our mission in preaching the everlasting gospel. I'm praying, Father, that you would bless us and that you would empower us with your Spirit in a way that is so mighty that no one could miss. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.